Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cakes Auville today, running the two-man show on a Victory Friday, driven by your local D.C. area Acura dealers, where there's always less talk and more drive. Shop dcarea.acuradealers.com for current incentives. All right, every Friday, 9 o'clock, we're joined by our Radio.com NFL insider, Jason LaConfora. Happy Thanksgiving, Jason.
What's going on? Happy Thanksgiving. It's usually Thursday, though, right? We just did it Friday today because Thanksgiving was all screwy for me.
That is true.
And probably for you guys.
Yeah, that is true. And in many ways,
I don't want to spread any misinformation. That's all.
Well, in many ways, it feels like a Monday because
what it feels like to me. Yeah,
we're doing the Victory Monday bit. By the way, what's happening in Baltimore? What do you expect to happen?
Nothing good.
That was the one game I was looking forward to, and then we didn't have it. Now they're saying it's going to happen on Sunday, but. Who the hell's going to be playing?
I mean, this I would liken it back to some of the situations from around week three where you saw games being played on a Monday or a Tuesday, 7 o'clock Tuesday window that previously didn't exist. Right now, there's significant fear in that Ravens organization that this spread has been far from mitigated. And I would expect more positives today. And then we'll see about tomorrow. But the idea of gathering up a team of, 45 players and, then trainers and coaches and getting them on buses, face masks or not, and having them fly, get on planes and then go to a hotel and then gather to play this game at a point where they don't think they have this under control yet, probably doesn't make sense for them or the Steelers or any of their future opponents. It's not so much about, they need to have enough players to play. They have a practice squad. Don't force them to use wide receivers at running back. Nobody's pining that, it's no Lamar, so just push it back. No, it's that if it's been a couple every day and the numbers are still going in the wrong direction, and this game was arbitrarily assigned to a Thursday in the first place, like throw out the days of the week. Can we get to a point where Baltimore doesn't have any new positives for a 24-hour period? And the contact tracing tells us we think we're out of the woods with these two outbreaks in that building. Then, okay, then we'll play football the next chance we can. But they're not there yet. And whenever they get there, don't worry, the Ravens will be heavily compromised from a roster standpoint. But this is really about being able to comfortably say, yes, we don't think there is a tremendous risk of further spread within that team or with whomever they're playing against.
So, Jason, if the game is canceled this week, what's the most likely scenario going forward? Does the NFL add a week 18 and then throw off the playoff schedule? What would be the most likely scenario?
I would say we're a ways away from this game being canceled or written off into a week 18 that may or may not actually come into existence. People get caught up in, when they're supposed to play. I mean, the Ravens are supposed to play Dallas next Thursday, but, my kids are also supposed to go to school regular, then they're supposed to go to school virtual, then, nobody knows what's going on. So, the Steelers are upset that, this was going to be our mini bye. Well, if you last played in a game you blew somebody out on last Saturday or Sunday, and you don't play again till the following Tuesday or Wednesday. Isn't that your bully? That's kind of the same thing as playing on a Thursday and not playing again until Sunday. So they will push this game to Monday. They'll push this game to Tuesday if they have to. If they get to that point and it doesn't make and the Ravens are still in the middle of an outbreak, you know, then we've got some questions to ask about how the thing moves forward. Do they sacrifice that Cowboys Ravens game, thinking that might not have the same ramifications as a division game might in terms of tiebreakers? You know, there's a lot of finessing that could be done before we get to a point where they're outright scrapping this particular game that we're talking about right now, Baltimore-Pittsburgh. So, you know, maybe by Sunday, Saturday, Monday, the Ravens aren't popping new positive tests. In that case, you know, they could tell these teams to go play football at any point.
Joined by Jason Lockeforto, Radio.com Sports NFL Insider. Insider calls brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes. You can also hear Jason with Brian Baldinger on Baldy's Breakdowns with new episodes out weekly. Just search Baldy wherever you find podcasts. So let's shift over to the Washington football Dallas game. I know you love that fake punt call.
Woo-wee! Yeah, I feel bad for the Cowboys. They're playing with heavy hearts. They lost a strength coach this week who was a beloved figure in that organization. And I think a lot of guys' minds, you know, were probably thinking about things that are far more important than football. That was a pretty brutal outing by them all the way around. And certainly the exclamation point on that loss was – I mean, there's got to be some sort of checks and balances. Like, it's the special teams coach, but, like, the head coach is on the headset, too. Like, how that gets through their play-calling protocols to settle on, like, okay, this might be the season in the balance. Let's run that play. You know, now we need – it's not just 4th and 10. It basically becomes a sweep on 4th and 25 by the time you get around to actually having the ball carrier start to move upfield. That one strains the processes of common sense. It's not the reason they lost the game, but it's certainly once they gave Washington the ball there, it was lights out. It was probably lights out already. Dallas is just – the whole thing is a house of cards. Again, with Jerry Jones picking the players, deciding exactly how much they make, and then going on the radio every week and telling the coach exactly how much they should play, you what's the point? You know, he should just coach the team because he's basically doing it. And when the coaching staff feels like Pollard gives us the best chance to win, but Jerry's going to be on the radio Monday and Thursday, talking about how the running back he gave $90 million to is still the best player on the field when he's not even the best player at his position. You're kind of it's a self-fulfilling proposition at that point. You're not set up to be a functional football team. You will always be mired in dysfunction.
Jason, let's rewind to the matinee on Thanksgiving Day. The end is nigh for Matt Patricia in Detroit. They're 4-7. Yeah. He's 13-29 since he's taken over. The ownership group there before the season said we have to see significant improvement from the front office and the head coach. That means playoffs. There will be no playoffs for the Lions.
No.
It's just been a failed experiment with Matt Patricia in Detroit.
It has. And it'll be very interesting to see where he lands. I think you're going to see upwards of 14 defensive coordinator changes next year. And I would assume with that kind of movement, he gets a seat at the table somewhere, especially if one of his buddies ends up a head coach somewhere. But it's hard to look at that defense and say that, like, it does anything particularly good, and that's his side of the ball. And they've spent a lot of money over there. You know, Trey Flowers, they've won bidding wars for players on that side of the ball. They've drafted defensive players really high. And they're getting, you know, blowout losses. They're blowing 20-point leads. It's a tough watch. They're just such a weird team. I mean, you could sit there and say, well, if this play, that play, and that play went another way, they're 7-4. And I could be like, yeah, but if this and that went the other way, you know, they'd be 1-9. but not a good football team. And yeah, whether they make that decision today, over the weekend, Monday, or the day after the season ends, there's not really a road for Matt Patricia to stay in Detroit in 2021 at this point.
So, Jason, clearly in the AFC, you've got the Steelers who are undefeated and the Chiefs.
Yeah.
They are the class of the AFC. But then there are a bunch of teams like the Titans and Colts who play each other. You know, the Raiders. There are a bunch of teams that are good teams.
Yep.
Out of the rest of the AFC, besides the Steelers and the Chiefs, who do you believe in the most?
Yeah, I took a look at this at CBSSports.com in the middle of the week in my column. When you really start looking at the some of the tiebreakers, strength of victory, head-to-head matchups, remaining schedule, you know, current state in terms of injuries, although that could obviously change quickly, COVID, the whole nine yards. You know, I think Buffalo's going to win the AFC East. I don't think that's a, you know, a shocker to say it, but I think they'll win that division. I think between the Colts and the Titans, I think at this point they both probably get in. That Titans head-to-head tiebreaker victory over the Ravens really kind of could end up being the difference in both those teams' seasons. So I think they both have a path to 10 wins at least, and 10 wins with the right tiebreakers. I think the Raiders are for real offensively, for sure. And they play hard. Gruden's got them in a good place. I think they can compete with pretty much anybody. They've shown that twice with the Chiefs, with the Saints. I think they're on a path to getting in. And I like the Browns as a wild card team. If they take care of business with Jacksonville, they're at 8 wins. They'll get Myles Garrett back in all likelihood from the COVID list after that. They're getting healthy at the right time. I think their schedule sets up well for them. And right now you look at the Dolphins, and I just think Brian Flores, this whole can of worms he just opened up with his quarterback, is probably going to come back to bite him. And then Baltimore is dealing with a lot right now, obviously COVID and everything else. Lamar is probably going to miss 2 games depending on when they're played. I just think those teams, Miami, Baltimore, will probably be on the outside looking in.
Jason, this may not be the best, most tantalizing matchup record-wise with the Chargers at 3-7, but I can't wait to see Josh Allen and Herbert duke it out this Sunday at 1:00 in Buffalo. That should be a fascinating matchup between two of the league's better young quarterbacks.
No doubt about it. I can't figure out why the Chargers' defense is as horrible as it is. There's not a talent justification for it. And the Bills, you know, have scored a ton of points this year, and they've had to because that defense has been very suspect at times. I think we'll see a lot of big plays. Both these quarterbacks are having a lot of fun. They're playing wide open football. They're making big boy throws. Buffalo clearly is the better team, and Buffalo has learned to win, while the Chargers remain an outfit that usually figures out a way to lose no matter how bizarre the circumstance.
It's Jason Lockenfora, Radio.com, NFL Insider. Insider calls brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van. Find out how far an extra mile really goes. And, of course, you can check out Jason with Brian Baldinger on Baldy's Breakdowns right there on Radio.com. Just search Baldy wherever you find podcasts. Thanks, Jason.
Hey, my pleasure, guys. Have a great weekend. Thank you.
Yep, you too. That is a crazy situation going into Baltimore. I didn't realize that they had a scheduled game for Thursday. There's just no way that they're going to be able to pull off a game Sunday, which is questionable, and then come back on Thursday with all these guys testing positive for COVID. It's a lot of moving pieces, man. I don't envy the schedule makers and the top decision makers as to how you get these games, you know, fit into the schedule, and maybe you have to flex it out to like a week 18 and just move the playoffs back a week. They're going to have to be flexible with what's going on, you know, with the pandemic.
But at least as of right now, they are scheduled to play the Steelers at 1:15. Ravens, though, of course, have been sliding. They've lost 3 out of their last 4 games, so they haven't been headed in the right direction. Steelers, of course, holding on to that undefeated season at 10-0. All right, we'll come back with more next. Remember, we got Stucky joining us coming up at 9:40 to give us his winners. If you want to chime in on the AAA Always On Call listener lines, it is a Victory Friday here on The Fan. Play the music, Ryan. We've been celebrating Washington not only getting a win on Thanksgiving in Dallas, moving into first place in the division.
It's crazy.
Cakes, earlier in the year, you said you didn't want to talk playoffs.
Hey,
you can't not talk playoffs now.
You have to now. Washington football team in first place.
So if you want to chime in on that, you can. 800-636-1067. It's Cakes and JP coming back with more here in a Victory Friday on The Fan. Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington on a Victory Friday, driven by your local D.C. area Acura dealers, where there's always less talk and more drive.
I believe
DCarea.AcuraDealers.com for current incentives.
The only other way there could have been a Victory Friday, by my recollection, is after the Skins beat Dallas with RG3 at the helm. Was that back in 2012?
Yep.
It's the only other possible Victory Friday, because this is only the second win for Washington on Thanksgiving in Dallas. It's been a house of horrors for them.
It's over the years, for sure.
Yeah.
Cakes, we talked about some of the big plays in the game. Like I said, I thought the biggest play of the game was Terry McLaurin chasing down Jalen Smith and what would have been a game-tying pick six.
Yep.
Instead, he gave the defense a chance, and that defense made some plays. I also thought some bad play calls by Dallas there in the red zone. Plus, they got a drop from CeeDee Lamb. But still, that to me was the play of the game. But on the other side, we did see a little more creativity from Scott Turner and Ron Rivera and the Washington football offense. We saw, you know, we've seen Logan Thomas in recent weeks getting the ball under center, kind of like some wildcat, but we actually saw a throw yesterday, which was a nice ball to Terry McLaurin. It wasn't like Terry McLaurin was wide open. It was a nice pass.
He put it where he needed
to. And Terry McLaurin, you know, he's a monster. He showed his strong hands, brought that down. But then you also saw kind of the fumble rooski.
Yep.
And
loved it.
I didn't realize this. I was looking at this online. I don't know that I've seen the movie Little Giants, but people said
not
that the play was stolen from
You know what?
The annexation of Puerto Rico in Little Giants.
Hold on. That's the name of the play?
Apparently
the annexation of Puerto Rico? Well, whatever it was called, whether it was lifted from Little Giants or not, it definitely caught your boy Flakes off guard. And I know it caught Dallas off guard. They didn't know what was happening. But you like to see that sort of innovation. You like to see a wrinkle here and there. And Scott Turner's giving you that. And you hope to see more going forward.
All right, phone lines are open if you want to call us on the AAA Always On Call listener lines. Your reaction to Washington's win,
by the way,
to improve to 4-7.
I thought that when Gibby gave the wave to the defender, I thought he was a lock. He was going to get a penalty on it. Like that is that not considered taunting? I thought that that's like a clear taunting type of deal, but apparently it wasn't. I guess the refs either didn't catch it, didn't care, or swallowed their whistles on it.
Well, it wasn't over the top.
I mean, I liked it. I didn't have a problem with it. I just thought.
But he switched. You know what? It got me a little nervous. Now, you shouldn't do that. He had to switch the ball from, like, his right hand to his left hand.
Well, sometimes you have to do that when you showboat a little bit, JP, when you want to showboat.
That's right. All right, let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. Your reaction to the win. We've been talking about it all morning here on a Victory Friday, having a little fun. Play the music, Ryan, as we go to John in Chantilly. John, you're on with the Junkies. What's going on?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hail
the Redskins today. Hey, I heard your earlier segment about your Christmas tree dilemma. I got a comment about that and also a comment on the game yesterday.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Something my wife and I have done here this past year is last year we bought a fake Christmas tree, and Christmas trees have just gone so high-tech now. The tree that we got, it has 10 different lights, and you can program it with a remote. And you can. We decided why to have the Christmas tree up just during Christmas. We put it up before Halloween. A lot of these stores are selling like Halloween
before
decorations
Halloween
for your Christmas tree.
Way too early.
Yeah, so we bought a bunch of Halloween decorations for our tree. We set the lights for whatever the theme of the season was, orange, of course, and we had it up for Halloween. Then we took the Halloween decorations off, and we changed the colors for Thanksgiving. I think it was red, orange, and white, and then we're going to change the colors again for Christmas, and we're actually considering maybe putting it up all year round and just change whatever theme of the color is for the season. We're going to do
so
green.
So, like, Easter, you'll have, like, pastel colors.
Yeah,
and
purple, yeah.
Purple. Interesting.
All right, so
I don't know that I'm
comment?
Crazy about it, but it's
what's,
interesting.
What's your comment regarding the Washington football team there, John? Oh, I guess we lost John.
He ran out of steam with his tree bit.
All right, let's go to our pal Vic in Akakik, who gave the Junkies a shout-out on the post-game show yesterday. What's up, Vic?
What's up, guys?
Hey, Vic.
Happy belated Thanksgiving to y'all.
Same to you and your family.
I've been trying to. Yeah, we're actually on a vacation right now, so this is pretty good. And yesterday was just made it even sweeter. Nice. I was in a restaurant yesterday, like the only guy jumping up and like golf clapping and raising like my hand in the air with no sound coming out of my mouth. People were looking at me like, okay, he must be a Washington fan.
What do you do? Do you do a Zoom call with Vince so that you guys are both tied into the game?
No, I just it was a silent understanding of victory. Like we talked on text to say happy Thanksgiving yesterday because I'm in a he's still home and I'm in another state. But if we had to call each other yesterday, it was because we would have lost. But we knew what it was. 41-16 says it all. And he's not. He feels like you all feel. He feels like Washington just sucks. We have this argument all the time. He said we just suck, and anything we get is house money. I'm not going to crucify Ron or crucify the team, whatever. It's just the Redskins. Washington sucks. So if we play good, great. If we don't, we don't. But I'm different, and I've been telling y'all that for about 3 weeks now. Mm-hmm. I told you all that Washington had enough talent to be successful. Even though they're 4-7, they play in this horrific division. They have enough talent to win some games. And Grant Paulson said this last week. He said last week they should have been at least 4-5 with what they have. And having given some of the games they could have won. Now, I'm going to give y'all two stats and I'm going to go. 2012, Washington went to the playoffs. They were 3-6 and they won 7 games straight. London Fletcher said we had to be perfectly flawless, relatively flawless to win those games. And he said Mike Shanahan made us all fear that we were going to lose our jobs. He said we were held accountable to a different level. So all the time that we have and a little bit that we did have, he said we were able to get the most out of it. And then 5 years later, they go to the playoffs at 9-7. The following year, they don't go to the playoffs, and they're 8-7-1 with virtually the same team. They had virtually the same team in 2012 and 2013 when they went 4-12. Don't tell me they don't have talent. What I'm saying, guys, we have to hold these coaches accountable. And when these coaches just stand off like principals that don't deal with their students and they just delegate orders and they don't coach the team like Mike Shanahan decided to do when they went 3-6, 1-7 games straight, that's when you can get the most out of your talent. So that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying they're super talented. They have enough talent to win if they coach it right. I wouldn't be mad at 8-8. I wouldn't be mad at 7-9 or 9-7. But I know there are years we can get more out of what we have.
This year, they do have some talent. And particularly on the offensive side, they got some great young talent in Terry McLaurin and Antonio Gibson. And maybe this is a coaching thing. Hopefully it is. We're starting to see Antonio Gibson get even more involved. You saw the first couple games with Alex Smith as the quarterback. J.D. McKissic had 29 targets, which was unbelievable. It was like, holy crap, it's a love affair between Alex Smith and J.D. McKissic. Now you're seeing Antonio Gibson catch the ball more out of the backfield, and I would hope that you see more games where he has a bigger workload. Maybe he's not going to get 20 carries against the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's going to be hard to run against the Pittsburgh Steelers. But I think that some of that talent is what's carrying them. And we've also seen the difference between an Alex Smith-led offense and a Dwayne Haskins-led offense, which was early in the season. And believe me, I'm no big Alex Smith lover. He's not exactly wowing me on the field. But the offense has been much better. It just has.
It has been better, but it has to be that sort of offense like we saw yesterday where he's in the mid-20s to attempts. Maybe he creeps into the 30s. If you start seeing these Alex Smith slinging the ball 40, 45, 50 times, that's when you're getting out of your comfort zone as far as the way Rivera wants this offense run. So I think as long as you keep Alex Smith in that mid-20s to 30 attempts range, that's where you're going to have opportunities to win games.
And
if you're Washington,
I don't want to diminish coaching. Coaching absolutely matters, and you want to maximize the talent you have. But, Vic, don't sleep on the fact that this defense has added first-rounder after first-rounder on the defensive line. That's the biggest difference. The reason why their defense is better this year. Maybe it's better that they're in a 4-3, and Jack Del Rio is the defensive coordinator, and Ron Rivera is involved. All of those things. But over the last several years, they've added guys like Jonathan Allen, Deron Payne, Montez Sweat, and Chase Young, all first-round draft choices to go along with Ryan Kerrigan. They've built the defensive line with talented players who were drafted high. It doesn't mean that coaching doesn't matter, but talent has made them a better team.
Certainly. And you would like to see some of that talent also added on the offensive side, maybe in the next draft or two, to complement a guy like Terry McLaurin. Do you understand the gap between McLaurin and the next closest wide receiver yardage-wise on the team?
I'm going to guess it's about 450 yards, 500 yards. It might be more than that.
It's more than that.
Yeah.
He has 963. The next closest wideout is Cam Sims with 245.
Oh, my God.
So I know you're trying. You want to try to develop some of these younger guys like Sims, both Sims guys, but they need an infusion of talent too on that side of the ball. So I'd like to see another wideout paired with McLaurin so that you don't have to be so reliant on throwing the ball underneath, on throwing the ball to the running backs and the tight end so much. And it takes a little bit of the load off McLaurin as well. It can only help him by leading some of the coverage to the other side of the field, away from him.
You brought it before, and he does have one more game, but currently he is the NFL leader in receiving yards. Currently,
yep.
He has 69 receptions for that 963 yards. Look, he doesn't have a bunch of touchdowns, but he has been an absolute beast all season long for him. And as a caller said on the show before, he has a new nickname. It's Lori.
Yeah, Lori. He just left out the Mick part and the N at the end. So Washington gets the win in Dallas. And, before the season even started, when we picked, wins and losses, whenever that was, this is the gauntlet stretch of the schedule: at Dallas, at Pittsburgh, at San Fran, and then home to Seattle right before Christmas. And this is not the Dallas team that we expected when we were forecasting what was going to happen in this little quarter of the season, but they're 1-0 so far in that four-game stretch. Now, it gets really difficult with a roadie to Pittsburgh, and then you have to travel west to take on San Francisco. But, you could be facing San Fran with Nick Mullins at quarterback.
Yep.
And you know what? You'll take your chances, especially with a pretty highly ranked defense against a quarterback of that caliber. Now, it ramps up when you come home the next week and take on Seattle, but the Pittsburgh trip is daunting. The San Francisco trip doesn't look as difficult as it did a few weeks or a few months ago.
Now, we did the schedule analysis last week. The Giants have four games remaining against teams with winning records. The Eagles have four games remaining with teams with winning records. Washington only has two. So even if you take those two games and say, you know what, they're just going to have no chance against the Steelers. They're going to have no chance against the Seahawks. Carolina and the 49ers. I believe if you win one of those games, just one of those, and you beat the Eagles, which is the last game, that gets you to six wins, and I think six wins is going to win this division, Cakes. 6-10 should win the NFC East. If they actually were able to win both of those games and beat Philly and win three more games, get to seven, lock it up. There's no way anybody's winning more than seven in this division.
And, JP, you know that week 16 is one of my favorite narratives of all time. Revenge game. Rivera versus the Panthers. Oh, revenge games in play with a possible playoff berth on the line. I love it. I love the fact they're still in
scanning. Are there any other revenge games? Do they have any ex-Steelers cakes?
Ex-Steelers, I don't know. But on the San Francisco side, of course, you have the Jordan Reed, Trent Williams revenge game
right.
side. That
Although
angle.
Trent, I believe, isn't playing right now because of COVID.
Okay, but that game
and Jordan
is what?
Reed, there's plenty of time for him to get hurt again.
Okay, but that game's 2 weeks off in the distance.
Right.
So there's still some time there.
There is
some time. Week 15, the J.D. McKissic playing against his former team, the Seattle Seahawks. There's always a revenge game narrative going on, JP, somewhere.
I don't know. I just love the narrative that at least for now, Washington remains relevant, and they're in the playoff picture in late November.
That's
Cakes.
A good thing.
And we've been doing this show for a long time, and more often than not, by the time we hit late November, they're not in the race at all.
Usually we're talking about whatever the next year mock draft is. We're looking at draft position and where they'll be.
We were doing that last week, and they are 3-7, or now they're 4-7, but it's just a different year. So it's great that we can talk about it. Play the music, Ryan. It is Victory Friday here on The Fan. Coming up next, we'll talk some winners, both on the college football docket, although there's not as many games. COVID is changing everything. And we'll get some winners for the NFL weekend with Stucky from the Action Network here on a Victory Friday on The Fan. Welcome back. Chunky's coming to you on a Victory Friday, driven by your local D.C. area Acura dealers, where there's always less talk and more drive. Shop dcarea.acuradealers.com for current incentives.
I believe we're trying to track down Stucky from the Action Network to join us, but he is not answering at this point. But if he does pick up soon, we will get him on. I was just following him on Twitter, at Stucky2. Good nugget. The Steelers, talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers, not only have the 32nd ranked schedule, they're now going to face their fourth backup quarterback of the season because Lamar is on the COVID list. They've already faced Jeff Driscoll, mm-hmm. Garrett Gilbert, Luton, I've forgotten his Jake Luton, and RG3 when they take on the Ravens, who have been ravaged by the COVID outbreak in Baltimore. So I'm not punching holes in the Steelers. They're very good. They've had a lot of nice breaks.
They've had some fortune
as far as quarterbacks that they've faced, and looks like they're going to get that opportunity again if and when they face the Baltimore Ravens this weekend.
Hey, but that's part of 2020.
Absolutely.
I mean, Washington has benefited. Look, Washington is in first place right now with 4 wins. 2 of their wins are against the Dallas Cowboys. Well, the Cowboys had Andy Dalton and Ben DiNucci in one game, and then Andy Dalton in this game. They didn't have to face Dak Prescott. It's just the way it is in the NFL.
It's the luck of the draw.
Yep.
It's who's healthiest, who can stay healthy throughout the season, who can dodge the COVID the best. I mean, there's a lot of pitfalls in this 2020 season so far.
You know, maybe Pittsburgh isn't like I would bet if it's a Pittsburgh Kansas City Chiefs AFC Championship game, regardless of where they play, I would bet on the Chiefs. I think they're the stronger team overall. Maybe Pittsburgh's defense is, you know, like they right now, if you look at their numbers, I think across the board, they're one of the top defenses, if not number one,
right,
in the NFL. So maybe those numbers are a little misleading based on what you're saying. However, their offense is pretty legit. Like, here's what my eyes tell me. Big Ben, when he spreads them out, he's got a bunch of guys like Juju Smith-Schuster and Claypool to throw to. They have a pretty solid running game with Connor and, you know, the depth that they have there. My eyes tell me that's a really good team.
Well, plus Deontay Johnson is like he's their target leader. His only problem is really staying on the field and staying healthy through all these games. And that guy racks up 11, 12, 13 targets in some of these games. He's become Ben's go-to guy. But yeah, they have a lot of offensive weapons there in Pittsburgh. And even a guy like Eric Ebron at tight end, he'll chip in from time to time. But it's hard for all those guys to eat when you have those talented guys like Claypool, Johnson, Juju. There's a lot of dudes there to feed the ball to.
Yeah, it's just going to be a weird situation if that game ends up getting bumped. Look, I want to look at RG3. I do want to see RG3 starting, but he's not going to have his top two running backs because the Ravens, if this game goes off on Sunday at 1:15, Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins, both on the COVID list. I don't even know who the backup's going to be because, remember, McSorley's on the COVID list. So Lamar and McSorley out. So could you imagine if RG3 went down in the game? And we know he's injury prone.
Yeah, I don't know. They must have to sign somebody off the street, or if there's somebody else on the practice squad that they could elevate, they're going to have to do that for this game because they're running out of bodies there at the quarterback spot. It's a tough spot for a team that desperately needs a win, too, in Baltimore to keep pace in the AFC.
Googling it right now. I don't even see on the, at least on ESPN.com, on their depth chart, there is no number 4.
Yeah, I mean, most teams just, they're not carrying that many quarterbacks. So they're going to have to pull a rabbit out of the hat or call up somebody that they've recently released off the practice squad, something along those lines, because you can't go into a game with just one quarterback. Especially if it's RG3. You definitely need a backup.
Yeah. So Lamar's on the COVID list. All right, Drab actually just via Google Hangout gave us his fatty. If you missed it, You can follow us on Twitter at Junks Radio. I actually tweeted out at Glass Joe JP. We gave you our fatties during the Junkies Blitz. Valdez sent his in because he's not here today. He likes the over in the Zona New England game. Cakes likes the over in the Chargers Buffalo game. And then I took the Giants laying 6 points against Cincinnati. But Drabby likes the Chargers catching 5.5.
He likes the Chargers coming east to take on the Buffalo Bills. Hope that's a points-a-palooza in Buffalo this weekend. Here's my dilemma, JP. It's a good dilemma to have. Do I start Josh Allen or Justin Herbert this weekend? You're my Dave Richard of the day. You're my Dave Richard today, JP.
I think I'm going to start Josh Allen at home.
You think Allen's the play?
I think I'll start Josh Allen at home.
I mean, I can't lose either way. I mean, either one of those guys, for the most part, I can pencil in like 30 points. Yeah, I can pencil in like 30 points.
Yeah. In the league that I care about, I mean, I'm in three leagues, right? One is the Nationals Philanthropy League. I'm mediocre.
Yep.
I'm in a father-son league. Eighth graders regularly stomp all over me. I don't know what happened in that league. I think I have 2 wins.
They smack you around.
I mean, it's just pimply-faced kids.
It's ugly.
You know, that are just prepubescent. Some of them just getting into puberty. They're regularly drumming me. But in my high-stakes league, I've got Antonio Gibson. I've got Kamara. I've got Travis Kelce. It's a strong team.
You got a bomb squad.
And then I have to make the decision, though, every week at quarterback. And I think I know my lean, but let me get your take on it this week. So I have Big Ben.
Okay.
And we don't even know if that game's going to go off. And I have Aaron Rodgers.
I think especially with the uncertainty in the Pittsburgh game, I think I have to go to Rodgers at home against the Bears.
Yeah.
I think Rodgers is the call. It's close, but I think Rodgers is your call.
And I know the Bears have a good defense, but home game. And I think when Aaron Rodgers is at the peak of his powers, and this year he mostly has been, it doesn't even matter what the defense is. He's going to put up his numbers.
Yeah, he's what you call in the biz matchup proof.
Yeah.
You just roll him out there. It doesn't matter.
I don't think the Bears shut down his connection with arguably the best receiver in football in Devontae Adams. By the way, now you have me looking at my fantasy numbers. Now I'm getting beaten down again by a 13-year-old.
Just to lend credence to my pick, I'm going, of course, to our friend Dave Richards' rankings. He has Rodgers as his 6th-ranked quarterback this weekend. He has Ben at number 12. So I'm sharing my brain with Dave Richards from CBS Sports.
All right, and where do your guys, where does Herbert fall, and where does Josh Allen fall?
He has Allen ranked 2, and he has Herbert ranked 4th.
So there you go. Follow your man, Dave Richard.
That's my guy, Dave Richard. I love that man. Love that guy. Love the advice he dispenses on the show every week.
By the way, Cakes, are we getting a Terps game on Saturday?
I mean, it's scheduled. It's scheduled at this point.
How about that?
I don't know whether it'll actually happen, but I know it's
like
scheduled.
Since they've played?
I know. It's so disappointing, too, because they were just coming off.
They were starting to roll.
Some good performances, and then, you know, stopped dead in their tracks by the COVID outbreak. Hopefully it's, you know, everybody's worked their way through it. Everybody's healthy, and they're able to actually field a squad this weekend at Indiana. That's a tough out. That Indiana squad is legit.
Yeah, I mean, Indiana just loses by a touchdown to Ohio State, and that was a game where they fell behind big time early. I didn't get a chance to watch the Terps college hoops game. We had Turgeon on the show on Wednesday. I didn't see the game against, I don't even know if it was televised against ODU.
I think it was on like Big Ten Network Plus.
Big Ten Network.
Yeah, I don't think you have BTN Plus.
Yeah, I don't even know where I would find that. Is that?
Couldn't tell you. Don't know.
Is that on Fios? Because I don't think I have it.
Again, I don't know. I would need to Google it. I need to get on the Google. By the way, if you wanna roll the bones today, you have college hoops and college football. I'm looking at BetQL, Notre Dame at North Carolina, 2 top 25 teams. Under Brian Kelly, Notre Dame 17-2 straight up coming off of a road victory. So if you want to roll with the Irish, you might have to do that. Might want to place a little wager.
By the way, Cakes, where would you rank now Mike McCarthy amongst like your the coaches you like to beat up the most? So this year, Bill O'Brien, I would say, had been your top seed for
yes.
a long time. It
right.
does seem like, you know, he's been fired. So Matt Patricia is now your new
He's target. The one seed. Matt Patricia clearly the one seed. But Mike McCarthy's on the Mount Rushmore. He's on the Mount Donkmore of bad NFL coaches. Patricia, let me see if I can fill this out before we're done here. Patricia is one. I don't really, this is not necessarily in order. McCarthy certainly up there too as well. Who's there? Oh, Doug Marrone. I'm sorry. You, bad team. You get on the list.
What about
Who
Anthony
else?
Lynn?
Do you know what?
A lot of
last-minute losses. He has. You know what? Start carving his face in the granite. He
can All right, we got to get out of too. Here. Thank you to everybody for tuning in here on a Victory Friday on
yep.
the Fan for Cakes. I'm JP. Have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday.
See ya.
Talking all things Washington.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.